Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
I'd like to welcome today our presenter, which is Stefo Shambo. And I'd like to tell you a few things about him. So he is the founder of the Tantric Academy of Sacred Sexuality. He hosts an online mentorship program called the Tantric Man Experience. And he helps men to master confidence, their mojo and purpose, save their marriage, or help them attract a love relationship in. So a big welcome to you, Stefo. Thank you for joining us today. And handing over to you now to bring your gifts. Thank you.
Thank you, Harmony. That's an awesome introduction. And thank you, Claire, for being here, guiding us. And cool to see all of you guys. I'm super excited to be here. So I am tuning in from Thailand right now, and that's why it's getting dark here in the evening. So where are you guys from? Type in the chat box just to see where you're tuning in from. I see Medea is here. Awesome to see you. Georgia, Marta, Pauline, Ashley, Eva, Sarah. Wow, we have many countries here. Germany, Colombia, Finland, Israel, Germany, Mexico, Australia, Berlin, Norway. Awesome. Worldwide. That's super, super cool. So, very interesting topic today, very important topic. So I'm super excited to share all of this information with you guys. And just a disclaimer before we start here, like even though I do work, help men master their confidence, their sexuality and purpose, this also applies to women, all genders or all sexual preferences. It's just that my language is many times catered towards the male experience, but that doesn't mean, you know, that this cannot be translated to everyone else, okay? So cool to see Ibiza, UK, Sweden, awesome. I'm from Sweden as well, cool. So if you have questions, you can type them in the question box, but I would take them at the end, okay? So if you have things coming up, write them down, put them in the Q&A box, and we will talk about it at the end. Okay, guys? So I will go ahead and share my screen with you. So just 1 second. Can you guys see that? Claire, is that a good?
Do you see yes, that looks good. Yeah.
Okay, so we are ready to begin. So as you can see, the title of this presentation is called Overcoming Sexual Blockages to Save or Attract a Healthy Relationship. Okay, so let me see. What we will cover today is the following things. I just want to go through like the brief overview of today. So why is it important to work on your sexuality? How do sexual blockages affect your life? What are the most common sexual blockages? And how to overcome sexual blockages? What are the benefits of mastering your sexuality? And like I said, again, Q&A in the end. So if there are things coming up while I'm talking about this, just take notes and we can discuss it later. All right. So let's dive in. Are you guys ready? Awesome. So let's start. I'm having some issues like moving between them. Okay, there we go. So why is it important to work on your sexuality? Well, sexual energy is actually the fundamental life force in nature. You know, we all come from this powerful energy through sex. You know, we are being born and being created through the act of lovemaking and through this act of sexual energy, right? But even though this is so natural to us, we have a tendency to, you know, suppress this and not fully look at it, right? Because in society, we have learned that it's kind of like a taboo, right? We see that it's an obsession. You know, we see it everywhere in media. And internet is full of internet porn everywhere, right? So we have this obsession and sin, and maybe even taboo lingering from maybe religious dogma or social programming. So we do all other things in life. We get a business coach to, you know, develop our business. We get a personal trainer to get fit and into shape. Right? And we get a therapist to work on our mental health. But why is it so far-fetched to get a coach in sexuality to help you with this fundamental life force? Something that is, you know, very natural. It's radiating in nature everywhere around us, right? We can see that bees pollinate flowers, the wind carries seeds and spread them all over the soil. We can see flowers, these soft flowers, penetrating the hardest concrete, right? So be connected from your sexuality is to be disconnected from life itself. Does that make sense to you guys? So that's why it's so important to work with it. Like, my suggestion here is that we actually need to prioritize working on our sexuality first, because that is the fundamental. And when we do that, everything else in our life will be improved. It will be 10x'd. Your business will be better. Your relationship will be better. Your mental health will be better because you're backing up all your projects in your life with this powerful life force energy that is everywhere in nature, right? In the universe. So that's my passion, you know, to spread this and make it more available in the world. That is not a taboo anymore to talk about this and to actually work with it and get help and support in this area. Because the fact is that it's really ruining a lot of people's lives, their own lives, their relationships, their marriages, their families. Many times we don't see it, but it is connected, right? Does that make sense to you guys? So, how do sexual blockages affect your life? So first of all, it affects our confidence, right? When we're not able to perform as we want, and if we, you know, ejaculate too quickly, we can't have an orgasm, or we feel just pain when we have sex, or, you know, it really affects our confidence. Whether we like to admit it or not. Like, and it starts to creep in this feeling of like, am I not good enough, right? And when we have low confidence, it spreads throughout our entire life, right? It also affects our anxiety, all types of anxieties, right? Performance anxiety in the bedroom, with a new partner, with your same partner, but also approach anxiety, of, you know, picking up or flirting or dating, but even social anxiety, just of interacting with other people. And this causes a lot of stress in a life to go around with anxiety. So you can see how much this is affecting our life when we do that, right? And this can also lead to staying lonely and single for years because we don't have that confidence. We only have anxiousness to approach someone, to want to get into a relationship, right? And when we're lonely, and when we're lonely for a long duration of time, maybe months or years even, I work with men sometimes who have been single for a long, long time. I'm talking about several years. Not out of choice, because they're stuck there. And I can tell you, that leads to depression. That leads to fear to meet new people, right? But also dissatisfaction in the bedroom, you know, missing out on this full potential of joy, abundance, and pleasure. And maybe even, and I know this story might seem a little bit tough, but I was on a phone call with a guy a week ago, and he had premature ejaculation. He lasted only a maximum of 1 minute, 30 seconds to 1 minute. And his wife actually divorced him. You know, this was one of the main reasons why she did that. It might sound superficial, but this is what I'm hearing doing this work. Dissatisfaction in the bedroom can lead to those kind of outcomes. And that's why your relationship can go from passionate lovers to bickering roommates. Sure, you know, you can be roommates and that's all good if you choose to do that. You can share a lot of love as roommates and love is still there. But if you want love with sexual polarity, then you cannot only be roommates, right? You have to be more than that. Roommates plus, being friends with sexual spark and passion, right? So that's why this leads to too many breakups and divorces, you know, not performing well at work. When you come to work and you're just full of this low self-confidence and not being able to fully, you know, satisfy your partner in your life, and you're feeling like this tension is really building up, like how will you perform at work? Like how will you go out in the world and actually do what you really want, your purpose? Right? It can lead to isolating yourself from friends and family, especially men, more men than women actually, you know, isolate themselves, not reaching out for help and not showing up as the role model and the parent that you really want to be. Because we are many times carrying these things from our parents, right? And then we're trying to, okay, I am going to do something different. And we try, and maybe we do it a little bit better. But what I see again and again is there's something called generational trauma. It's a karmic cycle of passing down our issues. And there are also sexual issues because a lot of tension stems from there. Not only, but a lot, right? So if you want to break that, you also have to work on your sexual blockages, right? And become the best father you can be, the best role model that you can be. All right? Next. What are the most common sexual blockages? So what do you think? So I will just ask you first. I will stop here for 1 second. We'll take some water. Can I see the comments somewhere? How do I see the comments? Anyway, so put in the comments, what do you think are the most common sexual blockages? So, of course, we have tons of them. Like, we can't list all of them here on this session because that would take too long, probably would take like the whole conference. And, you know, we just have to stay with the top ones, right? So, what do you think? I'm just going to see if I can kind of see the comments here somehow.
Stefo, if you click on chat.
Oh, got it. Still though, Maybe because I'm sharing my screen, it doesn't show because I'm clicking on it.
Okay, perhaps would you like Harmony to read some of these out for you?
Sure, just take two or three or something.
Okay, so people have put things like inability to have an orgasm, fear of rejection, sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck in my thoughts, believing my body can't feel fully, can't let go with a partner.
Yeah, good ones. I like it. A well informed crowd here. That's awesome. Thank you, Harmony. So I'm going to go through three of them. Three that I see is kind of like an umbrella. And underneath them, there are a lot of things that we can put into. Okay. So the first one is shame. Okay. Shame is the most toxic and heavy emotion in the human system. You know, on a frequency scale, this is considered the lowest vibrational emotion. You know, shame results in emotional numbness and disconnection from yourself, not enjoying being in your body and pleasure. You know, and this is something that we still struggle with in this society, even though we like to think that we are very modern, and we are in many areas, but in sex, it seems that we are lagging behind, you know? So what happens then is that we have this numbness and this connection from ourselves, and that will lead also to this connection with our partner. Because if we don't feel connected to ourselves, how can we then fully connect with someone else, right? And our partners, and you might have experienced this yourself, you will start to feel they're not fully present with you as you make love to them. And that's the sexiest thing, you know, a man or a woman can feel, the presence, the love that you share in this intimate moment, right? So if you're not fully there, this will really impact the intimacy between you guys. It will tear down the intimacy and connection. So can you see that this is how shame is directly linked to your sexual experience? And so much of our shame and guilt can be put underneath that. But this is a root cause of many sexual blockages. Okay. And the next one is fear. Okay. So we have a few types of fears. There are many types, right? So one of them is the fear of vulnerability. Okay. And we see this as an epidemic throughout society right now, not being able to show the real you, to look someone in the eyes, to be truly met on a deep soul level, to share how you feel, your insecurities, right? This is a fear of vulnerability. And if you're not able to be vulnerable with your partner, there's going to be like a wall between you, right? So that's one type of fear. Another one is fear of not being good enough. And I think that almost all humans on this planet can relate to this one because, you know, we are taught that, you know, as children, oh, you're a bad boy, you're a naughty girl, whatever, you know. So we feel that we're not lovable. We don't deserve love. We might even have a ceiling of how much love we can experience in the relationship and thus self-sabotage that. And saying things like, I'm unworthy of love. I'm unworthy of having an amazing relationship. It can cause you to not take action and live in outside your comfort zone, right? Then we have fear of intimacy, you know? Fear of intimacy, like, do I even know what intimacy is? Like, I'm fearing that because I have not the right knowledge about it. Like, it's a touch on the shoulder. Is that going to lead to sex right now? Can I make a difference between non-sexual affection and sexual touch? are they one and the same, or are they different, right? So we might have wrong interpretations of what sex means. You might think it means something while your partner think it means something totally different. It can lead you to avoid intimacy altogether because you have this fear there, right? Even afraid to talk about it, right? Many couples I see, they're married for 10 years, but they still don't really talk about sex. It's kind of like leave it outside the relationship. Everything else is on the table, but not sex. Leads to confusion, misunderstanding, right? What do I want? What do my partner desire? Like, how can I please them better? We need to talk about it, right? Embracing intimacy instead of fearing it. Another one, a big one, fear of commitment. You know, one foot in, one foot out. Running from one relationship to the next. When things get tough, you're out. And then repeating that pattern in the next relationship. Maybe not exactly, but similar patterns appear again. Anyone recognize that? And never being able to sustain a healthy long-term relationship because there's a fear of commitment. What is that? And then we have, finally, the fear of failure, you know, and both men and women, but I see men especially having this one. You know, they want to be seen as the strong one, the amazing sex god, you know, the strong king that has no weaknesses, right? And they can't fail. They always have to be the amazing performer, give their partner a mind-blowing orgasm. Otherwise, they're a failure. The erection might fail, or a women's orgasm might fail, right? Fear of failure. We have to be able to just, you know, fail sometimes. We are human beings. Things cannot be perfect, right? So that's the second one, fear. And there's a lot of different types of fears, okay? Anyone resonates with that one? And then we go to the next. And here we got addiction. And there's a lot of addictions, right? But now I'm talking especially about addiction to sex, you know, or the opposite gender, or, you know, the opposite partner that you're having sex with, and porn, masturbation, and lust, right? So those are the addictions that will, you know, block your sexuality here. And why is this? Porn is infusing that shame that we talked about before by focusing on unrealistic performance and comparison, right? And addiction to sex, masturbating to porn, or lusting after the opposite or same sex is usually a coping mechanism and a numbing tool. It's same as all other kinds of addictions like drugs. Right, we get that dopamine hit, and same thing here. And we use it as a way to distract ourselves for something else. And maybe that is intimacy. Because we, like we said before, that fear. Like we have a fear of showing our true self, being vulnerable with someone. So we use these numbing tools to distract ourselves, to cope, because that's what we learned as a child, right? To feel that lack or that emptiness that inside that is driving that lust, driving that addiction, you know? Maybe you were not given the love you needed from your mother. So you seek that feminine nurturing through sex as an adult. Or your father were absent and never there for you. So you are needy and clinging to your partners and want to feel loved through sex again, right? But you're seeking your parent in that addiction, right? So it's nothing wrong, just to be clear, right? It's nothing wrong with desire and fantasy, you know? We should embrace that. That's a part of de-shaming our sexuality. But when it becomes an obsession, a compulsion, or something that you're lusting from, you know, then it's not pure. It's coming from an ego place. an unconscious pattern in your shadow. You're not fully in your body living that. So you use it as a substitute to, you know, relieve stress, to feel good about yourself, and to experience love as a substitute, but it's not real. Sex becomes a means to get somewhere instead of experiencing the full ecstatic rapture of union and merging into the divine consciousness and oneness of the universe, right? Because that's what we really want, right? It sounds amazing. So let's remove all of those things so we can experience, again, the full ecstatic rapture of union and merging into the divine consciousness and oneness with the universe, right? Don't you want that? I want that. That's why I did all this work. So, you know, because it's really important. So how do we overcome these things? Let's talk about that, okay?
So, Stefan, just going to interrupt you for a moment because we've been running for a bit. So before you talk further, have you got a practice, a short practice that people in the room can do in relation to this before we move further into the webinar?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have not prepared any practices.
Well, can you pull one up in relation to this? Something short?
Just like you mean on this, like something that we can do right now, you mean, or in our own lives?
So really this to kind of help people, you know, really in relation to this topic, be in their body in this moment and help them stay engaged with the content, but also ties into the topic that we're talking about. It can be short, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, keeping us all here and engaged.
Okay, sure, Harmony, let's do that. So breathing is the number one go-to practice to really embody your sexual expression, right? So let's breathe in through our nostrils and breathe out through a sound, a sigh, an A, whatever it is. So just continue breathing in this manner. So you breathe in through the nostrils, exhale with a sound. You need to sound it. Okay, it's really important to embody your sexuality, to sound it out, okay? So continue breathing that, just a few more moments. And breathe deeply down and actually let out any tension or stagnation you feel if you've been listening for a while. And this really helps. It might feel like a silly, simple practice, but it's really, really helping to overcome sexual blockages. I promise you, you know, take my word for it. Just take a long, deep inhalation, the last one. Hold it at the top. Just keep holding the breath inside. A few more seconds. And just exhale slowly. All right. How is that? Is that good enough? Continue? Great. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about how to overcome these things. Okay. And I'm just going to run it through. I just aware of the time here. So overcoming shame. So let's start there, you know, so find out what the stories you're telling yourself are about this, you know, like I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, not worthy. Like my body looks ugly. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. My genitals are too small or my boobs are too small, whatever it is. Right. So identify those stories and question them. Like, why do you believe in them? You know, where did you pick them up? Who taught you them? Right. Is that really who you are? Right? And maybe you can write down some here in the chat also, like, what are the stories that you're telling yourself? Maybe something comes up here about shame, right? So identify those limiting beliefs. because this is really important. If you don't have awareness around it, it's going to be in ignorance. It's going to be in your subconscious, in your shadow, right? And then when you have awareness, confront those things, confront your shame by learning to adore your body, you know, stand naked in your body, you know, dance in the body, put in the mirror, put on some great music and just love yourself, right? It's a great practice. So other things, instead of making love with the lights off and closed eyes, turn the lights on and open your eyes, look into your partner's eyes. And most importantly, communicate to your partner about your shame, but also what you desire and what you want. When you're able to express your shame, there's so much heaviness being lifted from you. And that's a huge relief, you know. Only doing that can be an amazing experience, okay? So, and start to cultivate vulnerability and compassion to yourself. Instead of those negative, you know, limiting beliefs you have, replace them with empowering ones. Those will lift you up, you know, and move you out of shame, right? Because it's really time to start to celebrate our ecstasy and pleasure as a natural birthright. Because it really is. Life is a, you know, celebration. You know, it's time to get rid of that shame. You know, there's no shame that can withstand living an epic, awesome, and happy life, right? So beat that shame by you living your own epic life, okay? Second, overcoming fear, okay? So overcoming fear, here we need to learn how to identify our fears. Again, awareness. Many times we don't even know what we're afraid of or that we have fear. You know, we shrug it off and say, you know, I'm not scared. You know, I'm tough. But we need to learn how to, you know, accept that and welcome that emotion of fear so it can be processed and eventually healed, right? That's what I call becoming a fearless person, to have the courage and vulnerability to face it head on. And I call that a fearless person that has total freedom in their sexual expression. Whether they're single or in a relationship, it doesn't matter. They radiate out that fearlessness into their life. The last one, overcoming addiction. And I know this might sound a little bit confrontational maybe or controversial, but Tantra is the best way to heal addiction. At least one of the best way I should put it, you know, because just like addiction goes beyond porn and is rooted in isolation, Tantra goes beyond sex and it's rooted in connection. And we have these amazing researchers on addiction saying that actually, I think even he's speaking on this conference, Gabor Mate, he's saying that, you know, the opposite of addiction is connection. So here we have a whole path that is rooted in connection, right? Connection to life, enjoying life to the fullest. But it's not only mere sex, right? Tantra includes walking, talking, sleeping, waking up, eating, drinking, and everything in between. It's so much more than sex, but it also includes that. That's the uniqueness about it. You know, it asks you to put consciousness in every action and every moment of your life. So you develop that awareness in your own life. Most other spiritual paths tell you to avoid stuff, you know, avoid, you know, certain foods, avoid sex before marriage, avoid this and that, right? Comfort. And by forbidding things, they create an imbalance that is often filled with addictive behaviors. Restriction or lack are two sides of the same coin. So my recommendation is to go cold turkey and replace the addiction with something healthy and get support and accountability. The thing here is that we have to also question, do I have an addiction? Because I speak to so many guys that say, no, I'm not addictive. But then when we look deeper, is that they cannot go 2 weeks without watching porn. They cannot go a few days without masturbating. They cannot go a month or two without having sex with someone. And they say they're not addictive. But if they're not addictive, or we are, we should be able to not need it on a consistent basis. So before you judge yourself, if you are addicted or not, take a deep look at that, right? So that's why I'm saying, get support, get accountability here, you know? And lastly, you need to work on your shadow, you know, to find the root cause of what is causing this addiction in the first place, right? Because it's not just enough to go cold turkey, because if you don't fix the root cause, it will come back again and again, right? So the first thing is just to cut it off and then find the root cause, okay? So that's how we overcome these things, these three main blockages, okay? So the next thing here is, what are the benefits of overcoming this and mastering your sexuality? Okay, so what do you guys think? I will boil it down to two things, okay? Because there's so many. Okay, so two things that are very, very precious for most people. There's so many more, okay? I cannot mention it all, but the number one is that you will feel deeper connection with your partner and thus reigniting the passion. So if you're in a relationship, you'll be able to remove the tension between you guys, feeling fulfilled and satisfied again, increasing that confidence, the personal confidence that you can satisfy each other. What happens then is that oxytocin, the hormone, the feeling good hormone and the love hormone, will rise in your body. It will increase and you will start to feel like you're falling in love again. So if your relationship gone stale and it's passionless, this can really help you to bring back those butterflies like you felt on the honeymoon, right? It will allow you to keep that polarity and spark alive for the long run. And if you practice tantric sex, you can have mind-blowing spiritual experiences that goes deeper than just like the short peak orgasms. And this, my friends, this will really bond you deeper than ever before. And thus, this can help to save marriages, to maintain a healthy long-term relationship and restore a marriage that is on the brink of divorce. So that's what I see as a really amazing outcome and benefits from doing this, right? The second thing that I want to touch on here is that you will feel more confident if you're single, especially here, in yourself and resting in your center, your natural essence. You know, so you start to just be daring of who you are. People start to feel that you're authentic and naturally yourself without having to prove anything or second guess yourself out of anxiety, right? You will radiate out that frequency in the world. And thus, what do you think will happen? People will feel that and you will attract a partner on the same level. Someone that's done their work, someone that's overcome their blockages. That's why manifesting a high quality, healthy relationship is an inside job, right? You have to do the work on yourself. Instead of what many people do today, and trying to do it the other way around. They're trying to, you know, go on dating apps and just find someone there, or pick up techniques, trying to manipulate others. And this will just, you know, feel very inauthentic. and repeat the same fights, tension, and breakup patterns again and again, right? So you have to go inside. We really need to do that. So that will help you to attract, you know, a partner that resonates on your frequency, okay? So that's it. Summary here, the bottom line is that if you don't fix the root cause in your love life soon, it will impact the rest of your life, just like we've been going through today. You know, how successful at work you are, how happy you feel on a day-to-day basis, how long you will stay single and lonely, and how fast you will end up in divorce court. So look, if you value investing in yourself, you're able to optimize, you know, start with the fundamentals first, right? Because you want to unleash that solid foundation with more abundance, more happiness, more love and pleasure, right? So the first step to mastering your sexuality is to become aware and heal all the blockages that are keeping you from having an amazing relationship or finding a perfect partner to spend your life with. That's always, always the first step, okay? Remove all the blockages that are limiting you. Only after this, you will be able to save your relationship or attract your dream partner. So if you want to know more, you can always watch my free trainings on my website. But except of that, that's everything I wanted to say today on this conference here. And I'm happily taking any Q&A if I can have them being read to me.
Great, thank you so much, Stefo. Can you unshare your screen?
And yes.
Then we've only got 10 minutes, so I'm going to pull up a couple of questions. A couple of them have been liked by different people. So the first one, so we have 10 minutes. A comment/question. This seems valid for sexual people, in brackets, with the desire but blocked in implementing it. But how about asexual and demisexual people? When saying being disconnected from your sexuality is being disconnected from life itself, what does that mean for people who do not have a sexual desire? And somebody else kind of echoed that. Oh, actually, there's 8 people who have interested in that question.
Right. Yeah. So we have to look at individuals, right? Where is that stemming from? Is it a natural choice in life? Maybe they are practicing a certain spirituality, which is, you know, restricting that. Maybe they are celibate by choice, or maybe there's some trauma that is causing a blockage not to feel their sexuality, right? Or maybe they are just very neutral. You know, they have both masculine and feminine energy and this very like 50-50, and that's totally fine. You know, sexual energy is not just sex, having sex. Sexual energy, we can find it in, like I said in the beginning, in nature. We can find it in environments. Like, for example, where I live on a tropical island in Thailand is very feminine. So a lot of sexual energy here, right? So you can get, you know, sexual with just being in such a place and getting that fulfilled. So you can have sexual relationship to places, to situations, to other things than just the sexual act. Okay. So that would be my answer. And I just need to know more about that person individually to see where they're coming from.
Thank you for that, Stefo. And I don't know about anyone else, but if I've been sitting for a bit, I just need to have a little stretch. So if you're kind of feeling like you've taken a lot of information in and it's all a bit like maybe, you know, needs a bit of movement, then offer it that and we'll find another question. What is the best way to start with Tantra?
The best way is to, you can read a book. And you can go and watch some videos. I have some videos or blogs on my website. actually, for example, how to overcome porn addiction through the tantric methodologies that I talked about before. So it depends, like if there's something resonating with you, you can start in that area. For example, if you have an addiction to porn, you can maybe use tantra for that. Or if you have an inclination to that, you want to just expand the duration of lovemaking, or maybe you can start with ejaculation control, right? So now we're talking about neo-tantra, right? So we have to distinguish between classical tantra and neo-tantra, because you know, they are different, but at the same time, they overlap some as well, right? So I would always recommend my website, tantricacademy.com. I have a couple of free trainings there that everyone can watch, for men only. I'm sorry, all women, because work with men, but you know, that's a great place to start, for example, reading some books, watching some videos. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that. And then the next question, well, 10 people have liked this question. Sexuality is such a strong, instinctive, natural urge that we have to comply with it sooner or later. How much is too much? Or what qualifies as addiction, and when is it unhealthy sexuality?
Yeah, I think I touched upon that before. And for my distinction is when it's out of your control. It's like your sexuality is, you're a slave to it, and rather in being control over it. It's almost like your sex is an animalistic instinct that is running the show. It's driving the vehicle of your own body instead of you using it for your own benefit when you want and how you want, right? So that's how I see it. If it's a compulsion that you can't stop and you need it to feel good about yourself, then it's too much. That's what I would say. So take over the driving seat of your sexual vehicle. And that will be my answer. Yeah.
Great, thank you. What are the effects of pornography on our sexual well-being? And do you have any tips to stop watching pornography?
I think it's affecting us a lot, more than people think. And you know, I'm not this kind of guy to say, oh, you should never watch porn. But I do recommend not watching porn if you ever done it a lot in your life and you're kind of addicted to it, especially men. I just recommend go cold turkey for 6 months at least, and then reevaluate if you want it, because it's actually rewiring neural pathways in the brain, and you start to think differently about sex and women, for that matter. It's objectifying, like you are actually programming yourself, and most guys have watched it since they were young. So actually just going cold turkey on porn can change your whole sexual experience. And I think, I know this is a strong opinion, but I really feel that, and I've seen that in my work as well. So I really recommend to do that. And like I said before, again, I have an article, it's called 7 Practices to Overcome Porn Addiction with Tantric Tools. It's on my website again, and there's 7 amazing practices that you can do to help you overcome porn addiction in a slightly alternative way than just going cold turkey and going to a therapist. So I would recommend the article for that.
Thank you. And another question, well, 5 people have liked this. How do you make sense of the recommendations if you are single against choice and don't have a partner to connect with, communicate with, or express your sexuality to? How to do these things without a partner, without encouraging more reliance on masturbation?
What was the first sentence?
The first sentence was, how do you make sense of the recommendations if you are single against choice and don't have
sense,
a partner?
Makes sense? Or?
If you are single against choice.
Single against choice. I'm not sure if I understand that.
Ah, so somebody who is single, they don't want to be single, but they are.
Oh.
And they don't have people to communicate the various things that you've suggested, connecting with people around to remove shame, etc.
All right. So if they're stuck being single, like it's really, really important to reach out for help, not to isolate yourself. not to lone wolf things and think that it's not strong enough or you're weak if you reach out for help. So find a peer group that you can talk to, find a mentor, you know, hire a coach. Like I said, sex coach, you know, we have business coaches. Why not a sex coach? Find someone to help you. All right. So it's really, really important. Like I wouldn't be here and doing this thing if I wouldn't have amazing mentors and teachers on my path that have helped me get here. You know, so that's really, really important to find someone to talk to and not to isolate, because isolation brings more addiction, it brings more depression and more low confidence, and none of those, as we have seen, will help in the sexual experience.
Great, thank you. How do you differentiate between lust and desire?
For me personally, lust will be a compulsion and an unconscious pattern that is stemming maybe from a shadow or trauma. And we do engage in sex because we want to fulfill an empty hole, black hole inside of us, right? Desire is more of like, I'm a man, you're a woman, or whatever attraction you have, and I feel really attracted to you right now, and this is my desire to unite with you. And that's a natural thing, and it might come, it might go, but it's coming more from a natural place of polarity. We are wired to magnetize and be attracted to each other, right? And that's beautiful, that's natural, but when it's coming from this place, but when it's coming from, oh, I want to solve my daddy issues or my mommy issues, then it's lust, in my opinion.
Thank you. So one last question. So firstly, apologies to there have been many, many questions on him. We won't be able to get through all of them, but hopefully some of them have overlapped with some of the answers. Can you give a few tips for sexual trauma, please? Our final question for today.
Sexual trauma. So, I'm not a therapist or a trauma expert, so I would actually go and listen to like Gabor Mate that's on this conference. So you get better advice from someone who is certified. You know, I would just say that I'm trauma informed. And the best thing to do is just to do the deep inner work. And that can look in so many different ways, right? But we really just need to sit with all these emotions and going back to those places that is keeping us stuck where we are, repeating the same patterns again and again, because they are limiting beliefs in our subconscious mind. And if we don't address them, we're just going to repeat them, because we see the world through this lens of our old habits and patterns that we program with. So that's where I always start with the guys that I'm working with, and it works amazingly for trauma. But otherwise, I see here in the chat, his website, Gabor Mate.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Stefo, and thank you all for your attention and for so many great questions, really thought-provoking, and I've really enjoyed all of the tips brought up for me. Just before we go to announcements, I just want to encourage people to just do whatever feels good in this moment. So whether you need to stroke your body, whether you need to just have a little stretch or stand up or have a little shake, this is a lot of information, and the most important part of this conference is that we stay embodied while we're watching and hearing things about being embodied. That's my aim anyway. Just do what you need to do to do that. Yeah, rubbing your hands together or stroking your legs and having a little squeeze. Yeah, or stretch is always a good one. Yeah. Brilliant. So thank you so much for your attention. I'd really like to just like give Stefo like a really like lovely little wave here from my screen, and for other people who are on the screen, thank you so, so much for being here with us today, and wishing you well with all your projects. that you offer amazingly into the world. Few final announcements. So the next session up here at 2 p.m. UK time, so that's in 1 hour, will be Shashi Saluna on tantric tools for embodied intimate, for embodied sexuality. So a number of you have been asking questions about that. I highly recommend, I'm going to be hosting that session. She's very experienced. I highly recommend that you jump on board for that session with us. Stefo doing some nodding, so I've got a bit of affirmation on that one.
I know her, so I recommend it too.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so if you want to leave here and go and have a little bit more conversation with people, Claire will put in the chat, we have something called the coffee breakouts. So you can go into, you can click on those links and you can have discussions with people in the breakout rooms. We'd also love it if you join the Facebook group for both this channel, but also the main channel. And it's another way of just keeping connected with the discussions that are going on here. Are those going up for us, Claire? Yay. So click on that. And then the Facebook groups. So we want to thank our host once again for sponsoring this, Ilan Stefani, and hope you'll check her out during the conference. And Stefo, have we got all your details that we can put up? So your website, your latest projects. So this is all coming in the chat.
Yeah, I mean, my website is up and running. It's called tantricacademy.com. And that's where I have my free videos and the article I mentioned, and running my 9-week program called the Tantric Man Experience for guys. So yeah, that's where you can go if you want to find out more about me and my work. So thank you, Harmony, Claire, and everyone.
Brilliant. So just to complete this session today, I really want to encourage you to consider buying either this channel, if you love the kind of, if intimacy and the relationships channel is your gig, then, and you want to digest this material in your own time and maybe even watch this again, then we'd love you to buy this particular channel. We'd also love you to buy the library, which gives you lifetime access. So that's for you. It's a massive thank you to us here at the Embodiment Conference for bringing this together. And it's also, and probably most importantly, there are many people who are not able to afford to buy these recordings. And so if you buy them, it gives the opportunity for people all over the globe in different languages to access these particular ones. If you are one of those people who's like, oh my God, I just can't afford this, all of these recordings are up free for 48 hours. And we really hope that you'll just jump in live to as many things as you can and get what you need. So the final word from our speaker, what's your top tip, Stefo, on staying embodied? Top tip on how to be more embodied.
Okay. Well, I would say, remove all the sexual blockages that keep you stuck in your head so you can enjoy your full pleasure potential, because that is your birthright.
Thank you. So I want to thank Stefo once again, thank our tech, thank all of you. And yeah, thank you so much for your attention, and hope you'll enjoy the rest of the conference, enjoy the coffee breakout rooms, enjoy the material, and hopefully see you in another hour on this channel for Shashi Saluna. Thank you. Bye-bye.